T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This is The Instigators with Andrew Peters and Greg Rabe.
Let's go. Let's get it on. Oh, Peters.
Hey, got a tight Thornton and Rabe are exchanging punches.
Now, The Instigators.
All right, we have a great show today. I say that with confidence. At 10:30, our man Jeremy Roenick is going to join us. And at 11:30, a little special guest, a little treat for everybody, former Buffalo Sabre, and I'd say a legend. Rhett Warner is going to join us. He's out in Calgary. He's doing Sportsnet 960. I don't know. He messaged it to me, and I forget already. One of those 90s, 690.
Yep.
Anyway, so Rhett Warner's going to join us at 11:30, and Sabres in Calgary tonight, 9:30 puck drop, 9 o'clock pregame show. But first, you have the Instigators from 10 to noon, so we'll preview the game tonight. And this is Riv's team, eh? Like, Calgary, I don't want to say, like...
Why are you saying that? Well, why are you throwing me like that?
No. I'm not saying that's your favorite team. And if that's how it came out, that's... I apologize. What I mean is you've had your eyes on this team... And not this game particularly, but Calgary in general, because of what they've done. They have guys that are getting points at major rates. From Goudreau has 69 points. Monahan has 57. Kachuk, 54. Lindholm, 53. Giordano has 47 points. He's plus 36. I mean, they're walking
into the
line.
You know, to put that in perspective, to actually put it in perspective, they have a defenseman that basically has the same amount of points as Jack Eichel. They have four players that are anywhere from, 53 to 69 points?
Yep, exactly.
I mean, we're talking elite powerhouse. Their first four players on their team, I think, have over 20 goals each, correct? You're going to have to look that up.
Now you're putting me on the spot. I know points. So my
I got it
point,
right here, yes.
My point to that is we're going to talk about Calgary. Calgary, however you like to pronounce it. Are they a legit contender? Jeremy Roenick going to join us. He probably spent a lot of time out in Calgary in all his years. I want to know if he had some fun out there in old Alberta on this road trip.
Because,
you know, he's got some legendary stories. And,
we all have stories from Calgary, right?
I have some stories from Calgary that I'm not going to share. Rhett Warner, I'm sure he has some stories from Calgary. Marty mentioned one yesterday about after they went to the Cup Final back in 03-04 season. When they lost to Tampa Bay, I guess the Stampede, he ran down the Red Mile or something in the Bear.
You know what?
We'll have to ask him. I don't like spreading rumors, but...
Takes a confident man to do something like
Warner
that.
Rhett Warner is a confident man. I'm not going to doubt that by any means. But anyway, let's talk about like last night around the league. Because if you're following the Sabres as closely as we are and they're standing and where they are in the standings, then you're still watching the scoreboard on nights that they're not playing. And a lot went on last night, and I feel like the other night everything went the other way for them. But last night you had the Islanders winning against St. Louis. Some other game. Rangers beat the Hurricanes.
Finding ways to win. Like, I mean, what is going on in
the
island?
They move into a division spot now. They're not even a wild card.
They're
Pittsburgh's
not a wild
now
card.
Wild card number two after their loss in San Jose. But
they, I wonder if they're still worried about the John Tavares.
You say that
loss.
Like being funny, but let's be honest. When they lost John Tavares, everyone said, "Yeah, they have Matthew Barzal, but Barzal's not going to be able to fill in for Tavares. And who are they going to name captain? And what are other guys going to do? Goaltending Robin Leonard." When Robin Leonard signed there, I think everyone kind of thought that they, let's be honest. I mean, let's call it what it is. When Robin Leonard signed there after the season he had here last year,
yeah,
you know, regardless of what we knew about what happened or not, I mean, you questioned his capability of helping a team win. And then, you know, he has that article come out, and it just seems like he's completely rejuvenated himself and given the team a whole different. And that's one thing I'll say about Lou Lamoriello. Like, He's always willing to give guys second chances if he believes they have talent and they're good people.
You want to know what's amazing about the Islanders, and no. I've always said this, and I think anybody who listens to this show knows that I said this so many times it's getting boring.
I talk about in order to win
in this league, you have to have what? You have to be good at what?
Playing defense.
Playing defense. The Islanders last year in the National Hockey League were the worst team in the NHL goal differential. They were the worst team. They had 296 goals scored against them. Do you want to know where they sit in the league this year? I'll just give me one guess, and I'm only going to give you one. Goals against.
10th.
First.
Oh, man.
They're the best defensive team in the league. And this means something because, you know, they may not have that firepower that they had before with the John Tavares. They don't. They're missing a lot of goals. They're missing a guy that puts up 85 to 90 points a year. But you know what they do as a team? Is they lock it down defensively. They allow their skilled players to get opportunities, but their skilled players play good, solid defense. Their overall defensive game, they're number one in the league with only 118 goals against right now, which is absolutely fantastic. And that's why they're giving themselves a chance to win. Their last 10 games, they're 8-2-0. And it's starting with the goaltenders. You remember that goaltender last year that we thought sucked terribly? Well, that goaltender is getting it done in the island. They have a very solid defensive system in the island. They're getting it done collectively because there's no star-studded major talent, maybe with a Matt Barzell. But their overall game, they play defensive hockey and they wait for opportunities and they break teams down because they smother them defensively and they're winning games for it right now.
They have some balanced scoring.
Yep.
Like they have some, I mean, it drops off, but you have your top four. You have Barzell, 43 points. You have Anders Lee, he's right there with 35. Josh Bailey, 34 points. Brock Nelson, 30 points.
Yep.
Jordan Eberle is 21 points. I mean, he's on pace for 42 if you go based on 82 games. So I don't know if that's underachieving for him. But Valtteri Filppula, I mean, here's a guy that I think everybody would have thought was done a few years ago, older guy, you know, when he was in Philadelphia.
Let me ask you about Filppula, just for an example. Okay. I know he scored the overtime winner last 34 years old. What is his responsibility on that team? What's his position?
He's a centerman.
Yeah. What role?
Third line centerman.
He knows it. Everybody knows it. That's where he is.
Well, that's great. And they're moving forward. Third line centerman.
How about this guy's last name kills me all the time, but Shizikas, right? What is his role on the team?
Yeah. Checking line forward.
Checking line forward. Does he know that's his role?
Yeah.
And he does it, and he does it with perfection. He's got Clutterbuck on the wing, and he knows his role. He knows he's not a second-line center. He's the fourth-line center, and they do it to perfection. Each and every guy on this team right now knows their role, and that's why they're having success. They know this is the first, this is the second, this is the third, and this is the fourth line. They know their roles. They play it to perfection. And they're having success right now. And they know that they don't have, you know, the Austin Matthews and the, you know, the Mitch Marners and the Jack Eichels and the Jeff Skinners. But I'll tell you this, they have a really solid group of players right now that are playing together. And they're a tough team. They're really picking up speed moving forward. But let's get off the Islanders.
Well, the Rangers beat the Hurricanes 6-2. I feel like that, you know, that won't stop the Hurricanes. I still feel like they're a threat for a wild card spot.
Well, the Carolina Hurricanes, you have to understand that as much as they lost last night, they're 7-3 in their last 10. This is another team that is in a situation where they do not score a lot of goals. That's the one thing that right now their GM in Carolina is trying to go out. They're trying to find another guy that is a scoring threat in that lineup. But let me ask you a question. What type of player was Rod Brendamore, the coach of the Carolina Hurricanes?
Great two-way player.
Great two-way player, but he was one of the best at what?
Face-offs.
Awesome. More?
He was rugged.
What did he do better than anything? It's Kill defense. He was like a Selke Trophy candidate every year with the way that he played. He was gritty. He was great on faceoffs, but he was very defensively responsible, and he was. And that's the way his team plays right now. They're fast. They're skilled. They play together, but they play defense.
Well, not last night. They got pounded 6-2.
Yeah, that's true.
But anyways, that's going to happen. But the one that I think is stinging me the most right now is the Canadiens over the Panthers 5-1. And this is where, when you're looking at the standings, that, you know, there's, it's starting to open up a little bit. And I worry, you know, I worry. I mean, but, you know, you're walking into a tough game tonight. Sabres are third wild card spot. 52 points, you know, 56 is where Pittsburgh is now with the wild card number two. And, you know, like you wonder, like you gotta squeak out a couple wins here. I mean, you gotta find whatever you have.
Everybody's in the same boat right now, right? All these games mean something. That's what's beautiful about the second part of the season. The Sabres, each and every game means something. They're walking in to a finely tuned machine in Calgary. This team has literally not been given any respect for so many years because they've kind of teetered near the bottom of the Western Conference. But now this team has found their stride. They have a new coach this year. They made a couple trades, moving out Dougie Hamilton and Furland. And they ended up picking up a young man named Elias, help me out here.
Lindholm,
who right now is one of the players that has 53 points and 21 goals. I mean, he's playing like a star. And it's benefited them, and not to mention Noel Hanifin, who is former, what, fourth overall pick or third overall pick?
That was a big trade in the summer.
It's a massive, massive trade. And both teams, I think, did well. I think Dougie Hamilton's played well in Carolina, as Furland has. But, I mean, the Lindholm has gone above and beyond what Calgary would ever expect of him. 53 points right now and 21 goals, and they still have, what, 35-plus games to go? This is a massive trade. And Noel Hanifin on defense has been awesome. He has been a second-pairing defenseman that has huge upside. This has been an awesome trade for Calgary, and they're reaping the benefits of it right now.
I can't sit here and say that I know their schedule perfectly, but I mean, it's like they beat Arizona the other night 7-1. They beat Florida, you know, they beat Colorado, who's slipping. They beat Chicago, who's slipping. They beat Philadelphia, who's slipping. They lost to Boston. They beat Detroit. I mean, like, it's not like, I don't want to take away from Colorado, but if you shut down that top line, I mean, you have a very good chance to win. I'm not gonna say it's a guarantee to win the game,
yeah,
but they're not beating, you know, top-tier teams. So I sometimes wonder if we're giving a little bit too much credit. And that's why, you know, like I'm a little more optimistic about tonight than maybe some people are based. And the Pacific Division, I don't think, is nearly as strong as it once was. So the game we're talking about is 9:30 tonight, puck drop. Sabres in Calgary, used to be called the Saddle Dome. I don't know what it's called now. 9 o'clock pregame show on MSG with Marty and Duffer. So make sure you catch that. I'm sure we'll have some Rob Ray cameos in there. Maybe some Dan Dunleavy. I think he's calling the game. But, yeah, so, I mean, you look at Calgary, and this, we'll ask Jeremy Roenick, are they a serious contender? Are they a contender? I mean, I think we're giving...
They are a contender. There's no question they're a contender.
Mike Smith, this Riddick kid, that's a goaltending duo.
They've got the goaltending.
You trust Mike Smith.
They've got the defense to back it up. They've got a very, very deep offensive line that has a lot of firepower up front. But let me tell you this. Buffalo Sabres are not dead men walking into that stadium tonight. This game's not done, because I'll tell you this. The Sabres played the best team in the National Hockey League, as far as I'm concerned, in the Tampa Bay Lightning. We just played them a couple games ago. I thought that we played a strong game against the most elite of the elite in the entire league. And at one point in that game, in the third period, 5 minutes in, the Sabres were winning 3-2. So the Sabres competed with the greatest team, I think, in the National Hockey League. A couple breakdowns here and there. Tampa Bay capitalizes, and now all of a sudden we walk out of there with basically, they had an open netter, did they not? Or was it just a 5-3 win? I can't remember.
Callahan scored that fifth goal.
Okay, so, I mean, I thought that the Sabres competed. They had like a breakdown within about a 13-minute span in the third period.
They seem to raise their game against Tampa. I feel like even the game they lost that ended the 10-game streak, or almost made 11 games in Tampa Bay, was a tight game, back and forth scoring. They beat them here on home ice earlier in the year. I feel like they elevate their play, and which, like, I don't know what happened in Edmonton the other night. I really don't.
A team will always elevate their game, always.
And you think it's fear of getting embarrassed?
Absolute fear. You will always play better when you fear your opponent. When you don't fear your opponent, and you're very complacent walking into a game where it's kind of like, you know, we're 50-50, you know.
Well, then hopefully they learn something against Edmonton.
Well, absolutely. I mean, absolutely. But here's the thing. I mean, the loss against Edmonton was a colossal failure defensively. They gave, literally single-handedly gave Edmonton. It's not like Edmonton even earned it. I mean, come on, when you're giving breakaways to the best player in the world, that's a no-no. That shouldn't happen. When you're giving literally pucks away right into the slot to, I mean, there were so many breakdowns defensively that it's kind of like one that you have to kind of,
And I've heard
a lot of people say this before. You just crumple the paper up and you just throw it in the garbage and you say, guys, we got to be
better.
Some nights
your goalies just have bad nights too. And it happens. And it hasn't happened much this year. It has not happened much. And I feel like a couple bad bounces, you know, lately, you need your goaltenders to get back on the horse too. And start playing a lot better too. But it's not all their fault. But let's look at the lines here. John Vogel tweeted out lines yesterday. Not sure if there's changes or not, but Skinner, Eichel, Reinhart staying together. Sherry, Mittelstadt, Thompson, Saboka, Rodriguez, Pominville, Gergensen, Larson, Oposo, Ellie was the 13th. And your D were Dahlin, Bogosian, Pilot, Ristolainen. So Pilot looks like he's back in. Scandella and McCabe and Beaulieu and Hunwick. So looks like you might have
Beaulieu out and Pilot in.
Beaulieu out, Pilot in. Scandella playing with McCabe. Scandella was playing with Beaulieu the other night.
You know, like I think Lawrence Pilot is played quite well. He's a very, very smart defenseman. He's a very good at moving the puck. He's got offensive instincts. But the reality of it is what everybody needs to realize. This is his first year in the league. He's only played what, maybe 20 games up to this point in his short NHL career. And the other night against Tampa Bay, he made a clear mistake that resulted in a tying goal, which resulted in Tampa Bay gaining momentum and winning the game. He made a mistake, but guess what? He's a rookie. He's going to make mistakes. You got to live with these mistakes, understanding that as he gets older and more mature, he's not going to be making these mistakes. That's the reality of it. You know what? Listen, I mean, you're seeing mistakes made it all the time, but he's got to learn from these things. And I think he's done very, very well, and he actually deserves to be in this lineup, especially with the way that some of the other defensemen are playing right now. Some of the defensemen are playing horrible, and they're still in the lineup.
803-0550, 888-550-2550. If you have a lineup suggestion or you have a comment on the Sabres in the game tonight, you can give us a call. Again, 803-0550, 888-550-2550. He's at Craig Gervais 52 on Twitter. I'm at the Instigator 76. Let's grab Mark in Wheatfield. Mark on the line with Andrew and Craig. Go ahead, Mark. What do you got?
Hi, guys. How are you?
How are we doing, Mark?
I don't know. We need a little more spunk in your voice there, Mark. Let's have some positivity here.
Well, I'm going to give you my scoop on the whole situation. I've been watching the Sabres for many years. I'm going to preface it by saying I never actually played ice hockey. But I disagree with a lot of your comments. I disagree with a lot of the commentary on the Sabres games. Let me just say that I think the Sabres problem is one that they've always had, and it's a lack of scoring. It's a lack of skilled players. I refer to the way the Sabres play as pinball hockey. Basically, it's throw it at the net, get somebody in front of the net, screen the goaltender, hope for a lucky bounce, hope for a deflection. I don't think that's really the way to be consistently a good hockey team. You have to get fine skill players. who know how to pass the puck, who know how to receive the puck, who can skate, who can work the puck and get good shots. I think they're on the right track with Eichel, and they've attracted Skinner because of Eichel. They need more players like
Mark. I think we know where you're going for time's sake here, and I'll say this.
Does he have a quick point, though? Like, I'd like to know, like, I know that's some good information and that you're giving out there, but do you have a point on what you feel something should be done, or what's your point?
Well, I'm not really sure anything can be done right now because the players that they have, and I'm speaking specifically about the lines 2, 3, and 4, not necessarily the first line. You've got to find players that are skilled players that can pass the puck and receive the puck. I mean, I can't remember how many games I watched the Sabres, and the puck always goes off somebody's stick. They're wide open in front of the goaltender, and it goes off their stick. They're always just one step slow. They're missing the puck. They can't control the puck. Hockey is a game of control.
And you know what? I agree, Mark, with everything that you're saying. You made some great points. Lack of scoring, that's something that's been, nagging on the Sabres for a number of years, but they've also been in a process that they're trying to build that. They're trying to do it the right way. There's obviously, you can go out and throw Band-Aids on there. We can go out and maybe sign a guy here and there and try and throw a Band-Aid on there. But the reality is the greatest teams that have had success in the last number of years are the teams that went through tough times, Pittsburgh Penguins, Chicago Blackhawks, LA Kings, all the teams that have actually won Stanley Cups are the teams that suffered and had to build through their development. And I think Jason Bottrell knows better than anybody because he's won 3 Stanley Cups with the Pittsburgh Penguins. He knows what it takes to slowly and doing it things right instead of just being throwing Band-Aids on there. You want more skilled players? Then we've got to take our time to develop our players. So in a couple years, we are going to be that team that's going to be the skilled team. So it's great, a lot of great points there by Mark.
Except for the point where you say you disagree with the commentary, because everything you said, we've said here before, Mark. Just, I have to throw that out there. Part of my job. Mark's gone. I don't know where to go from there.
I don't disagree. I don't disagree with him at all. Like, I've watched the same team in the last 6 years as Mark has, and I agree with him.
Isn't the style of play indicative of the talent level that you have? I mean, the throw pucks to the net, get bodies to the net is when that's something you asked back in the day your third and fourth lines to do because it's a simple way of hockey. They're not normally the more skilled players. Your more skilled guys are on the top two lines.
Let me ask you something. Let me ask you something.
Ask me something.
This year and watching last year, are the two teams the same?
It's night and day.
They're night and day. We were the worst team in the league by far, and we were horrendous. I agree, the lack of scoring, the lack of skills, it was like tough to watch for fans. But I'll tell you right now, it is a lot different team. This team has done what we wanted them to do, and that's put themselves in a position to try and strive to make the playoffs. That's what we've wanted. If you were to ask anybody around, what is the goal for this team? This team was last in the league. What is your goal for this team? And it would be to make the playoffs. Well, the Sabres are there. Are they going to make it? I don't know. There's a lot of season left. There's a lot of ups and downs that are going to happen, right? I mean, we're not playing our best hockey right now. There's no question. But we're trying to keep our head above water. I know the guys in that room because I've been in hockey forever, and Petey's been in hockey forever.
I don't know why everyone's heads are on fire. I mean,
because we were in first place at one point.
I know, but like,
which is unfair.
Thank you. It's unfair.
We went through and won a 10-game winning streak at earlier on in the season, and we won games by one goal, and we had good bounces on. How many games did we win in overtime? Like, the stars aligned for this hockey team.
How many? They were nicknamed the Comeback Kids. I mean, because they were winning games, coming back 3 goals against Pittsburgh. And, I mean, like, look, right now, with where they are, is where I think we all expected. Everyone at the start of the year said, I just want to have some meaningful games, you know, in March. And you know what? If they can keep their head above water, we're going to have that.
Yep.
You know, they're going to have to win some games. Like tonight, they have to win tonight. I mean, you have to win tonight. I don't.
Every game is in that situation right now.
But some games you're just, you know, like, I mean, if you look at the schedule, you have to like mark off games where you might say, okay, I expect the other team to win. They're just a better team on paper, where you might come out and surprise them, but you have to win the games that are in your, you know, games that are kind or teams that are in your kind of ballpark in terms of ability and skill and standing.
So
Edmonton was a must win game. Edmonton was a must win game, and then you're getting beat by their fourth line players. Like that can't happen.
Milan Lucic had two goals.
Zach
Cassian had two goals, and they just doubled their output for the year. Now they have four goals. I mean, come on. There's no way that those guys should be sitting there burying you. You know, there's no way you should be giving a breakaway to Connor McDavid. Like, these are mistakes, but I know hockey is a game of mistakes, but let me tell you something. If you want to win hockey games, you got to play defense. You got to manage the puck better, and you got to give yourself a chance to win. They didn't give themselves a chance to win. They beat themselves. Let me tell you something. The Edmonton Oilers did not beat the Buffalo Sabres last game. The Buffalo Sabres beat the Buffalo Sabres.
Yeah, I think that's right. Let's, you know what else is right? Heading to break, because Jeremy Roenick coming up next. He got instigated in Chi-Town. We'll tell you more about what that means, and I want to know, you know, the Road Warrior, JR, if he has any good stories from Alberta. Also from Alberta, Rhett Warner, 11:30, is going to join us. He covers the Flames. He does a show up there on Sportsnet 690. We'll talk to him, his time in Buffalo, what he's up to, how are the Flames, are they as real as we think they are, all that and more right here on the Instigators coming up, WGR 550 and MSG.
We're back with more of the Instigators with Andrew Peters and Craig Rabe.
All right, waiting on our man Jeremy Roenick. If you did not know, CJ Smith, he had a hat trick last night. Is that the rumor that we're hearing?
That's
around the
rumor.
American Hockey
Hattie,
League?
Yep, no big deal. Got some fans right now that want him back up. So interesting. What do you think of the way that he played? He only played a couple games, but what were your thoughts?
Gradual improvement with more ice time. I thought, you know, slowly. Inserted in the lineup, what did he play, like 10-something his first game?
Yeah.
You know, maybe nerves. Closer to 11 or 12 minutes, I think he played. And I remember everyone saying, they put him on the fourth line. I don't think that's fourth line minutes at all.
I don't think we have a fourth line on this team. There's no identified fourth line, second line, or third line. So, I mean, he played on a line that actually created some scoring chances. And, you know, he scored a nice goal in one of the games. So, it's nice to see that CJ Smith go down with the right attitude and know that put the work in, continue to dig down there, and he'll get an opportunity for sure.
I think we'll see more players coming up from Rochester down the stretch here when the Sabres get back. You have a nice homestand in February. I don't know how far ahead in the schedule you've looked, but they have their home for the first 2 weeks of February, I think.
Yeah.
And then they head on the road. I don't know if it's one road trip or they're back and forth. But speaking of road trips, a man that was a road warrior, we know that. Jeremy Roenick joins us on the line. And you know what, JR? I didn't tweet out that message you sent me the other day. I didn't feel, you know, I didn't know if I should, but we're gonna play it. Now hang on one sec, JR. Let's roll the film here.
Boys, again, I'm in Chicago. What did you just say to me?
We love the Instigators.
Where? Right? Instigators. Tell them. I'm not just saying. You guys said it to me, right?
Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
Instigators.
Love them, right? See, you guys are too big for me, man. I don't know.
We're just talking about the golf conversation when he asked you how much you bet, and then Peter always says, Jay, aren't you supposed to be another zero to that?
See, they listen.
See, now we're going to call that JR getting instigated every time somebody comes up to you, because it's happening everywhere. It's happening in Beijing. It's happening in Vegas. It's happening in wherever else you've been. The Winter Classic. You're in Chicago. I mean, we're in multiple cities now. Guys stopped you in Vegas a couple times. You sent us that video. So, yeah, pretty cool stuff.
You know what? I'm going to tell you this. All I have to say is I want to come back as JR in my second life.
I'm getting instigated. That's a perfect way to put it.
Yeah,
that's gonna be my video.
Boys, I just got instigated one more time. Tell us more about the Chicago one. What happened there?
I was in Gibson's, And
great spot, by the way.
Yeah, great spot, and sitting in the bar, hanging out, and you know, a couple of the guys that are standing at the bar are like, you know, JR, we love you on Wednesdays. I'm like, what's Wednesdays? The Instigators. I'm like, no way. And I told you, one of the guys that was there was Patrick Kane's uncle.
Which is even better, because we love Patrick Kane on this show and what he's doing in Chicago. You know, we pump his tires quite a bit. So, you know, it's only fair that the Buffalo love goes round and round. You know what I mean?
Oh, they love you. They listen to every Wednesday, so or every day.
Oh, so what you're saying is they only listen for you, is what you're saying, AJR? We see,
probably.
We see where you. So Sabres are in Alberta. So for now on, when you get stopped and told you're on the, we want you to take a video and say just got instigated here and wherever you are. But Sabres are.
I'm in Orlando right now, so we'll see if I get it down here.
Sabres are in Calgary. Do you ever have some fun in Calgary? Is that where you left the rink and went to dinner?
No, that was in Vancouver.
Oh, they go there next. They go there next.
I actually was out late night one night, and the night before a game, and that's when I got into a car accident and rolled down an embankment in a snowstorm, and I ended up drinking a case of beer with a 58-year-old in a robe until 4 o'clock in the morning, waiting for a cab to come pick me up.
What? What?
Yep. He obviously didn't read my book. Didn't read my book. No. Well, it's okay. Yeah.
But what is your book, JR?
I have a couple books that I wrote a few years back, but the story was really good because we came from Edmonton on a back-to-back, and we flew into Calgary, and everybody knows you get to Calgary, you want to go to Cowboys. Well, a lot of us were sitting in the lobby kind of looking at each other, checking in at quarter to 12, and we're looking at each other like, you going? We play the next day. Are you going? And we got to give the nod. So we sneak out the back of the hotel. We go to Cowboys. And you know, you guys know what happens to Cowboys. It gets to be pretty crazy and pretty rowdy. And there was a party that was bursting out with a lot of good-looking people outside of town. So I'm like, why not? I'll go. And walked outside. It was a pounding snowstorm. I still had my loafer shoes on, my suit, my beautiful suede overcoat. We go into back of the car. We're driving for 20 minutes. And for some reason, the person that was driving lost control of the car. We hit the curb and rolled down an embankment, rolled twice. And I was in the middle of nowhere, no cell phones, no nothing. And I had to hike about a mile and a half through the snow. And I finally knocked on some guy's door, and he answered in a robe, like he'd just woken up to go to work. And I said, excuse me, sir, I got into a car accident. Can I use your phone to call a cab? He goes, hey, you're Jeremy Roenick. I went, yeah, of all places to get in the problems, Canada, where everybody knows hockey players, right? But he invited me in. It took 45 minutes for a cab to get there. We polished off a whole case of Molson Canadians at a table. This kitchen table telling stories. And I said, listen, I really hope you don't say anything about this to anybody. I'll get you tickets to the game and all that stuff. So I'm sure he's still telling that story today, too.
Imagine Twitter was around back then.
No, Dad. Yes, I would.
Are you? Yeah. All right. I don't know where to go from there, JR. Sabres in Calgary tonight, 9:30 puck drop. We got Jeremy Roenick on the line. Let's Johnny Gaudreau, 69 points. Okay. Monahan, 57 points. Tkachuk, 54 points. I think you get where I'm going with this. Lindholm, 53. You got Giordano has 47 points in 45 games. Is this team a real contender, or are they just smoke and mirrors?
No, they're a real contender. And if you even look at the back end with Giordano playing as well as he is, I mean, a lot of people think he's going to be up for the North Trophy, which I totally agree with. He's been absolutely fantastic. And if Mike Smith can play to the level that he has shown in the past, as many goals as this team scores, I mean, they are as lethal offensively as say Tampa is in the East. You know, you got to give them some props for what they've been able to do. I mean, they are just thumping teams. They're not just beating teams; they're pounding teams.
I know, but
couple stats on them. They're first in the West with 64 points. They're second in goals for in the league with 173 behind Tampa Bay. They're 10th in goals against, so they're pretty solid defensively. They're second in goal differential at a plus 40. Their last 10 games, they're 8-1-1, and their home record is 15 4-4, and they're on a 5-game winning streak.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
Did we think that Johnny Gaudreau would really be what he is right now, or did we think that when he first came into the league, he was just kind of, you know, new, and everybody would figure out how to play this guy? He's unbelievable.
How can you ever expect a guy who's 5'8", 150 pounds? To be as dominant as
him. Well, I know. I think he uses a junior stick, too.
No, he uses an intermediate stick. An intermediate, meaning like he's using a 67 flex.
Yeah, it means that's a stick that a 16 and 17-year-old would use.
No. That's what a 14 and 13-year-old use, JR.
It's just insane. I mean, this, and if you watch him, he is so elusive. He is so dominant with that puck. You know, I don't know if there's more elusive guys in the game than him and Patrick Kane,
yeah,
in terms of their ability to turn and spin, turn on dimes, knowing where everybody is. He makes passes like 2 or 3 seconds before he's going to do it, you know, because he sees the play developing so well. I mean, the kid is just sick to watch.
Like, do you think this kid is an undercover guy? Because let me tell you something. Everybody knows Johnny Gaudreau and Johnny Hockey, but is he on the elite level? Are we talking?
Yes.
Are
yes.
we talking like there's the elite level, but are we talking a MVP, like that type of thing? Like, I look at his statistics in his career.
Well, he's got played 7 points less than Kucherov, and I'd say that if they both made the playoffs and you had to pick a Hart Trophy winner, Kucherov's on a
yes.
stacked team. I'm taking Johnny Gaudreau all day long.
Yes, I
just
agree.
Just
I
like
agree.
Taylor yep. Hall last year.
In 359 games, he's got 357 points. That's absolutely insane.
He is for sure in the elite superstars of the National Hockey League. The reason why we don't hear about him so much down in the States is because he's in plays in Canada. You know, I think he dominates games night in and night out, and always comes up with the big play. He seems to have the puck on his stick at all times. He comes out on the score sheet with a point every single game, somehow, whether they win or lose. And what one thing that is so underrated about Johnny is his shot. He has got an absolutely mesmerizing, accurate shot. If you watch an All-Star game next week, you watch the way that this kid can pick corners and how deceptively hard his shot is. It truly is something to watch.
So should Sabre fans be nervous? Someone tweeted to us last week that when we have you on, they want to have a little more Sabres talk with you. You know, so like, what are you thinking for the Sabre fans right now with, you know, the team now down to 52% odds to make the playoffs? They were in the high 60s a couple weeks ago and beyond that back when they were top of the league. But, I mean, what do you think about this slow dip?
Well, they got to get Jack back and healthy. Right, he's got to come back healthy and get back to the playing in shape, because Jack is just having such a great year. That's going to be a big boost for the team when he's feeling good and rolling again. I think some of the other guys have kind of slowed down a little bit. I would like to see them getting a little bit more engaged. But it's trouble right now, because you see some of those teams in the East that are playing well. The Islanders are winning hockey games. Jersey's been winning a couple hockey games as of late.
Montreal just won't go away.
Montreal is just surprise again. Probably the biggest surprise team with Calgary to me on the year. No time to panic for Buffalo, but they definitely have to. They gotta get down to the work, you know, to the workhorse again and start burying some goals, because they're just, you know,
you brought
it's
up
that time. It's that time, you know, it's the end of that, what they call the dog days. Right. So you got to survive another 5 or 6 games and then really go after it the last 20.
You mentioned the Islanders. I mean, when they lost John Tavares and signed Robin Leonard, we kind of thought, okay, this is going to be a team that's going to maybe be a lottery pick. And here they are. I don't know. Maybe that's a bit aggressive, but no one expected them. Like, they just won't go away.
No, you know, they remind me a lot of how Columbus wins hockey games. They everybody plays the same way, and everybody plays hard. Everybody has their role, and they play within their role. And Matthew Barzal is just—I mean, he's a superstar in the making. I mean, he's a star as right now in his second year. The way this kid controls the game and the way he sees the game, he's taken over for the Tavares, and he's made that transition of a Tavares-less team so much easier watching this kid play.
You have the Boston Philly game tonight. Are you working that one?
No, I'm in Florida. I'm down for the Diamond Resorts LPGA championships, baby. I'm playing some golf.
I literally want to be JR. I just want to live JR's lifestyle just for a month. not for a whole year. Just give me a month.
Listen,
I've never heard of a man travel so much as you do.
You must have a publicist. So we're going to I'm going to send you our address here at the studio, and you're going to sign a couple copies of those novels you got and send them over to us. We'll read them and we'll talk about them on the show. I can read, eh?
I seriously.
See my shoe? It says New Balance.
I seriously should have one of those shows. What is it? The reality shows that follow me everywhere. It would be, you guys would die.
Honestly, my Lord. Absolutely.
You guys would laugh. Like a perfect example. Last night, me and my buddies, believe it or not, after our little party that we had for the tournament, you know, we went for dinner last night. You're never going to believe it. We went to the Melting Pot and had fondue, and we absolutely just destroy ourselves at a Melting Pot and eating fondue. Like, who does that?
Hey, did it last night. I'm going to knock you off your high horse here for a second, JR, and
I'm going to put you on the spot
with Buffalo fans everywhere. What's up with you and giving the love to the Pats? You got any Tom Brady stories?
Come on, buddy. I grew up in Boston. I grew up like 15 minutes from Foxborough Stadium. You know, now Gillette. That's come on. It's all Pats. It's Pats Nation. It's Red Sox Nation. It's everything. Come on, man.
You ever hang with?
He's a Boston boy.
I know he's a Boston boy. You ever hang with?
No, we're claiming he has a Boston boy.
He's too big time. Gronk is my favorite. That guy. That's the guy to hang out with.
You know where he's from, eh?
Is he a Buffalo guy?
He's a Buffalo guy.
No wonder why he's so great. All you guys in Buffalo are awesome.
Just hardworking. He's a hardworking animal. Hey, listen, you know Gronk?
I've known Gronk for a few years now. He's just a spectacular guy. Awesome.
Party animal.
That's why I like him.
Party animal. Get him on the show for us.
Tough to keep up with us.
You still owe us Chuck Barkley.
By the way, you know, you, Petey, you text me early this morning and say, is 11:30 okay?
My bad.
And I said, yeah, sure. And it would have been great because I would have been a whole bunch of celebrities I could have put on the phone with you. But you just made a mistake.
So. Call us back tomorrow then. Well, you know why? Because we have Rhett Warner coming up at 11:30. So it was 8 in the morning. I'm still foggy. I'm trying to just get the show set.
Can't substitute Rhett with some of the guys that are down here.
Well, so, I'll tell you what.
God forbid.
You can call us back then if you want. Call us back at 11:30. JR, thanks for your time again. Have fun
love
on the golf course. Jeremy
right,
Roenick every Wednesday at 11:30. Love having him on. Guy's fantastic. Rolling off. If you missed JR, go back and listen to it after the show. Talking about rolling off the cliff in a car in Calgary one night before a game, and then drinking beers with a guy in a robe. All right, that's the life of JR. He's got a book out. We're going to get that. We'll get some stories out of that. We'll be right back here. More Instigators coming up. And at 11:30, we're not going to substitute Rhett Warner for anybody. We're going to keep Retro, the man they call Retro, and we're going to bring him on. He's out in Calgary. He's doing Sportsnet 690, and he knows a lot about the Calgary Flames. Sabres are at the Flames tonight, 9:30 puck drop, 9 o'clock pregame show on MSG. We'll be right back here on MSG and WGR 550 and MSG.
Hockey talk that hits. This is the Instigators with Andrew Peters and Craig Rabe.
All right. Paul Byron will have a hearing today for charging Florida's Mackenzie Weegar. You have any, you've seen the hit, I take it?
I saw the hit, yep.
And Paulie Byron's actually turned himself into a really good,
hell of a hockey
solid player from Montreal.
I'll tell you right now, I would guarantee with 100% certainty that the Buffalo Sabres, who that drafted Paulie Byron years ago, would love to have him back. Because I'll tell you right now, if there's anyone that is fast as Connor McDavid, he might be the one. He can absolutely fly. So
well, he flew into your cousin's chin. Jumped. He's going to have a hearing. I mean, I suspect he will get suspended for this. I think
Well, he lunged at Mackenzie Weegar's head is the issue with the entire thing. It was, I'm not sure if Pauly Byron is looking to make the dirty hit. I think that he was trying to make a good stiff body check. He came in hard. To be honest with you, it doesn't look as bad to me. Obviously, a tough result in Mackenzie getting hurt there and maybe a concussion, but I don't think Pauly Byron is a dirty player for one. I don't think that he was intending to hurt Mackenzie Weegar. It's just kind of like a stiff, hard body check, and he hit his head on the glass, and it'll be interesting to see what happens. He's got a hearing, but what does that mean?
Speaking of a hearing, Ty Domi's got a hearing with Leaf fans.
Oh, I didn't know if you were going to bring that up, but I'm... Did you watch the video?
I watched the video. I thought the video was awesome.
About the video.
NHL Network did a feature on Max Domi and Ty Domi, and
it's awesome.
I assume it's called "I Am My Father's
Son." Are you a
son.
Fan of? You're obviously a fan of Ty Domi.
I am a huge fan.
Fan of Ty Domi. Like, I played against Ty my entire career. Obviously, Ty is
Did you ever fight him?
No, I didn't. I there's certainly times where I definitely would have, but I wouldn't have wanted to, because he's someone that can really hurt you, and I knew that, and I would still fight him, but there was a lot of close calls. Thank God to Shane Corson. Thank you, Shane Corson. If you're listening,
Shane Corson. If I were lining up a roster and I were going into a game against Montreal and you had Rivet and Corson.
You're not going to want to fight Shane Corson.
I fought Shane Corson.
He's as tough as they come.
I fought him.
He's not a big guy.
I was 22 years old. I've never come across, by that point in my life, I'd never come across a stronger man in my life.
Absolutely.
I was 22.
Corson was that player that back in the day, he was probably around 6'1". He was shorter than I was, so he's about 6'1", but he weighed about 210 pounds.
Let's call him
but
60.
That 210 pounds, I mean, his body fat had to be like 3%. I am not kidding you. It literally looked like, I think you should start eating more fats. Like, get a bag of ketchup chips in you. You know what I'm saying? But he is shredded. I mean, muscles coming out of where they shouldn't come out of. He was just an absolute man child with these massive man hooks of a hand. His hand
makes me feel better because I
almost look like
I didn't beat him, but I was disappointed that I didn't do better.
He was a guy that loved fighting. He was a little bit off, like, great guy, but he's the guy that you wanted to play hard against in practice, but you didn't want to go overboard because his switch was as like turning on a light switch. He literally could go from a cuddly bear to a grizzly bear that wants to shred your face off.
So let's get it out there. Is Ty Domi in trouble with Leaf fans for wearing
That's a tough one. I'm going to tell you, I know. So for me, playing in Montreal for so many years, I mean, our number one hatred, without question, is a Toronto / Boston. I felt like the bigger rivalry back at that time was the Toronto Maple Leafs. I mean, playing Toronto was like going into Mad Max. It was incredible, the atmosphere. And Ty Domi was a massive, massive part of that for so, so many years with Montreal, Toronto. I cannot believe, I know his son right now is currently doing exceptionally well in his first year in Montreal, but it was a really nice piece that who put it on?
But you think he shouldn't have done it?
No, I don't think he should have done that. I think that Ty Domi should have walked on there with all his Leaf stuff and done the exact same cameo for this. I'm going to tell you right now, I look at Ty Domi and I look at him in a Montreal can, it makes me sick to my stomach. Ty Domi is a Toronto Maple Leafs. Through and through, he bleeds white and blue, and now all of a sudden he's telling me that he bleeds white, blue, and red.
No, listen.
He loves Montreal because his son's there, yeah, and I love it. But that being said,
courage. That is talk about ruffling feathers and stirring the pot, something that Ty was amazing at.
Ty's going to get booed next time he walks out in the carpet in Toronto.
Yeah,
I'm going to tell you that right
he
now.
He shouldn't.
Yes, he should. It should be a quick boo, and then everybody's going to applaud him because he's
okay.
The greatest.
Well,
he's
then
the greatest.
I can live with that. But, I mean, you want to, like, you go into the deeper side of this. Now, granted, the story's only being done because of who Max's father is, because he's Ty Domi of the
Leafs. And because they're two completely different players.
John Shannon from Sportsnet tweeted out something that I thought I'd never see. All right, something that I never thought I'd see. Oh my. And yeah, I don't think I would have expected it to, but I'm going to let him off the hook. Number one, because I want to have him back on the show sometime. But number two, I'm not going to let him off the hook. This is his kid. And
I don't care.
His career's over. It's not about him. It's about Max, and it's about moving forward. That's a chapter in his life. Now he's going on to be a part of a chapter in his kid's life. And I don't feel like the Toronto Montreal rival has to
negative.
Come. Maybe
it's like Mary Lemieux having a son, and his son goes and plays for
Philadelphia,
and you're gonna have Mary Lemieux do this cameo and walk on there. Pittsburgh Penguins. Would vomit in their stomach.
Why do you have to go and use Mario?
Because you're.
Why
I'm
do you
talk,
have to go and
what
use
I'm talking
Mario
about is Ty Domi was an icon, and is an icon in Toronto, and he will be remembered in that organization for years and years and years to come. I would have loved to see Ty Domi walk onto that ice in Toronto Maple Leaf uniform, going against his son, who is an unbelievable hockey player. It was awesome. I loved it.
Who cares? It's all in good fun. Great piece done by the NHL. Great story on the Domies. We'll be right back. Instigators, hour number two. We'll preview tonight's game, 9:30 puck drop. Sports update next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.